All this week, we're reviewing the top local news stories of 2025 as it happened in chronological order. Today, we're recalling stories from the September and October timeframe. As students returned to classes in the fall, Kansas State University continued to trend in the right direction on enrollment for the third year in a row. Official enrollment was up 4.5% with 21,213 students this fall. Officials said in a statement that K-State welcomed its fourth largest first-time freshman class in university history with close to 3,800 students. Enrollment on the Manhattan campus was just under 17,000. K-State President Richard Linton.
4 years ago, we were like 82-83% in-state, 17-18% out-of-state. We've had to shift that to like 63% in-state, 37% out-of-state. Because we simply don't have enough students that want to go to college with the amount of universities and community colleges and technical colleges that are here.
Later in the semester, K-State and Manhattan Area Technical College signed a new MHK pathway agreement, allowing students who are not admitted to attend K-State as degree-seeking freshmen work toward earning college credits and transfer eligibility the following year. Manhattan Tech President Jim Jeanette says the agreement is a big win for both institutions.
Well, it's a dream come true. We have been working on it for years. Different reasons why it kind of got bogged down, but President Linton made a commitment early on to try to push it through. Provost Perez, when he got here, I was in a meeting with him and Rich, and Rich told the provost, let's get this done, and we made progress faster.
Enrollment dipped just a bit at Manhattan-Ogden this year. The district reported in October that its total headcount was down by 85 students. The largest declines were seen at the high school, which offset some gains made in some of the other school buildings. The high school had 87 fewer students than the fall 2024 semester. The fall was also notable for how local government entities and agencies responded to the longest federal government shutdown in U.S. history. Caught in the middle of the political fight were the recipients of SNAP benefits, who faced a lot of uncertainty throughout the month of October as local health departments were forced to shift funding at the state level to ensure benefits continued until the shutdown ended. Riley County Health Department Director Diane Creek spoke at a county commission meeting in mid-October when the state was still working in tandem with USDA to determine how much it would have to supplement to cover those benefits.
KDHE estimated that there was enough funding for us, all the local agencies in Kansas, to provide services for 10 to 11 calendar days, starting on October 1st.
Eventually, those SNAP benefits would get restored, but the shutdown forced the Flint Hills Breadbasket to pivot. In the event that SNAP benefits would be on hold for a lengthy period of time, Director Carla Hagemeister said at the time they had continued to see the need for food benefits climb during the fall.
These are folks who work. These are people who are coming in before work, after work, sometimes on a lunch break, or they're in school, or they are struggling to find work.
That shutdown ended just before Thanksgiving. Another major project that took place this fall was a dredging project at Tuttle Creek Lake. Fortunately for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, they were able to get that done before the government shutdown occurred. During a radio appearance on KMAN, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Kansas City District Project Manager and Planner Laura Totten explained Tuttle Creek Lake was about half full of sediment from the original constructed storage in the multipurpose pool.
The hope is that the sediment will then flow out of those lower gates into the river downstream. It's primarily fine materials, silt. We believe it will stay in suspension and keep flowing down the river, out of the Blue River, into the Kansas, into the Missouri, into the Mississippi, to the Gulf. But we are monitoring that downstream to see exactly what happens to the fate of that sediment.
The dredging process involves a large barge equipped with a pipe that injects water into sediment at the bottom of the lake, lifting it into suspension and creating what's called a density current. Josh Olson is the project management lead with the Kansas Water Office. He says Tuttle Creek Reservoir gains about 6 million cubic yards of sediment each year.
If you were to fill up the space of a football field, including the end zones, it would actually stack as high as roughly two Empire State buildings. Or if you want to go more locally, it's more than 9 times the height of the state capitol.
A second and third round of dredging projects are scheduled for spring and summer of 2026. The KMAN Year in Review will wrap up on Friday as we take a look back at the final 2 months of 2025. We'll also take a look back at some of those we lost in 2025 as well. I'm Brandon Peoples, News Radio, KMAN.